Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHTK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
October 15th, we are officially in to the fourth quarter, and we are a fourth quarter team. And yes, today is week 66 for Entrepreneurs Unlimited. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for chasing your dream alongside me. Are you ready to take a baby step today in this crazy journey we call entrepreneurship? Are you ready to win the morning, win the weekend today? Is never fear. Haney is here today with just a little entrepreneurial caffeine for the soul. And I am here alongside Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. How are you gentlemen doing today?
You fire me up every Saturday. I really appreciate it.
You know what? I love being with you guys. How you doing, Tom?
I'm feeling quite sprightly.
Tom is now sprightly. I don't know that word. It sounds like a soft drink.
I've got my Monster right here. Can I say that? I just gave them a pitch.
Now we're talking today entrepreneurship, right? And there's these baby steps that we have to take. Sometimes we're taking big steps, but you got to start somewhere. And sometimes it just starts with those little baby steps because you're on the fence as to how to proceed, whether I'm going to do something or not. But it starts with those little baby steps. And they're sometimes a little wobbly, and sometimes they're a little more easy to manage. Marcus, how about you? Now, you have a big dream that you need to take a baby step toward?
Yeah, well, I think it's more of a vision for me. I want to build an organization that I can help create opportunity for veterans. That would be my overall.
And when you dream, an organization for veterans, what does that look like in living color? If you were to have a dream last night about, this business or this opportunities that you're creating, what does that dream look like in living color?
That probably looks like a bunch of veteran friends on a yacht in Bahamas celebrating some wins.
I love it. How about you, Tom? You got a
would there be girls?
Now, what would a baby step be toward that, Marcus? Hal, if you were to take a baby step, or what baby step have you taken?
I think I take a baby step every day, trying to create an opportunity. I'm starting a couple new opportunities, and I think that if they go appropriately, then I can create some opportunity and hopefully get that yacht.
Nice. Tom, how about you, buddy?
In reference to
your
like vision or dream?
If you have a dream, I mean, they say that if you have a dream two nights in a row, right, that is, some people can't come up with their vision, right? It's like, I can't really picture the vision. But if you have a dream, Tom, two nights in a row, that might be your vision.
I've only had one particular dream two nights in a row, and actually more than two nights in a row, but it involves Amsterdam. Okay. Jessica Alba, a purple bunny. I'm not done. A purple bunny with a bow tie and a duck holding a hammer. I'm not sure what's going on.
So what would that say about your vision? So you have a big vision then. It involves travel, it sounds like.
right. I'll be up to no good, I'm sure. No, but actually, I think when you visualize something, right? I mean, I picture walking into a building that I own, high five and all the team members as I get in at 6 a.m. or whatever have you, because everybody's there early, everybody's smiling, and we're all putting our foot on the gas at the exact same time.
Oh, I love it.
How about you?
You know what? I have these two dreams that come up. I mean, there have been dreams that I've had at night, but they've kind of turned into daydreams, really. And the first dream is I'm an old man, right? And I'm playing catch with these two little kids, right? They're probably 5 or 6 years old, and I'm down on a knee kind of playing catch. We're out in the country somewhere, and somehow I've carried that dream forward, and I'm an old man at the time. And so I have this thought.
I don't think the Catholic Church is going to look very fondly on this.
The thought is that these are my great-grandkids. That's what I'm like. I'm playing catch with my great-grandkids. So I guess, you know, what would my baby step be? Well, a baby step toward living longer, obviously, because I'm going to be an old man. I got to be an old man at some point. So, I mean, I think that's my baby step would be showing up at CrossFit in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So is that why you work out so hard?
Well, I mean, I think so, yeah. I think that's it. And the second dream is in my backyard, and I'm we got a couple hundred people there. There's like 100 millionaires in my backyard, right? These 100 millionaires have their spouses with them, and we're sitting at these tables in my backyard, not up there kind of giving a speech. And as I look around, all these millionaire entrepreneurial guys, they're all kind of working together, right? They all kind of love each other in a way that's kind of cool, almost like business partners among themselves. And I look around at these guys, and they're all my business partners. They're wow. my guys. They're my rock stars. That's my dream, and it just keeps coming up. And so that's what we're doing with this show. That's what we're doing at Haney Biz. We are trying to help people to achieve their dreams. Sometimes that looks like a yacht, like Marcus with his buddies. Sometimes that looks like travel and a hammer with a duck. It looks different to everybody, but it's our dream, and that's okay. And I am here to help find a way to have you reach your dream.
Yeah.
And you know what? It starts with baby steps sometimes because, you know, you think about when you first start something, you are a little bit fragile. You are a little bit maybe unsure. You might be hanging on to the coffee table a little
hesitant.
Bit and hesitant. You kind of let go of that coffee table and you're, you know, sometimes you go down, you start crawling. And other times you begin to walk. It's different for everybody, but there are 7 days in a week, my friends. And someday is not one of those days. Today is our day. And, you know, I had a guy come up to me. We were over at the Startup Grind. A little shout out to my buddy Rich Foreman.
Over up at the Urban Hive in Sacramento.
Yeah, we were out there the other day, and a guy came up to me and he said, "Mark, you know what? He's a young guy." He said, "Mark, that was very motivational. You're a great motivational speaker." And I said, "You know, and I'm not going to mention this young man's name. Might be Marcus. But today I am going to be a motivational listener. Wow. Today we got some great guests, and we are going to hear from these guys in just a minute. We are going to hear from Tim Mulligan a little later in the show. He is the president of Haney Business Ventures, and we are going to hear from Jeff Rizzo, the founder of Riz Knows. Jeff knows more about YouTube broadcasting and athletic gear than anyone I know. But after the break, we are bringing on the man behind HVAC powerhouse Brower Mechanical. We're about to meet Dwayne Knickerbocker. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live podcast and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. Five Star is my business bank, too. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined, finally, by Dwayne Knickerbocker, the owner of Brower Mechanical. I've been trying to get him on the show for quite a while now, and he's finally here. Today is the day. How you doing today, Dwayne?
Absolutely fantastic, Mark.
I love that intro.
I love that you are
coming on the show today. You've got an HVAC company that does a lot more than that. Can you give us an overview of your company?
Yes, like you alluded to, you know, HVAC is one component of our business. We look at the bigger picture. How to put together energy plans for homeowners?
Okay.
And businesses, you know, how do we, a lot of times we think that if we go to a solar company and look at solar, that's our energy plan.
But right.
It's really bigger than that. How do we look at opportunities to reduce energy in our home and then supplement that extra with a production plan? And that's whether businesses or in homes.
So it's more of a consultative type of offering, right? So you're helping people to, I guess that's good for the environment too, if you're using less less electricity, less power and stuff.
Yeah, if we educate and understand what opportunities out there, homeowners and business owners have, they can make better decisions, right? With information, we can understand and make those best decisions that fit what our goals are.
I see the Brower Mechanical vehicles all over the place. How many vehicles do you guys have?
Yeah, we're a little bit north of 50 vehicles.
50 vehicles. Yeah. Okay, I knew that you guys were pretty big. How did you get started in the business?
Back in the early 80s, I'm dating myself.
I'm older than you, so you're good friends. Or you grew up with Todd Flowers,
yes,
one of my
did.
Business partners.
Little League
at SSI.
Buddy.
Yeah, you guys are the same Little League team. So I think you're 1 year younger than me, but so you got started in the 80s, which was a while ago.
But what,
you're in the early 20s at the time, or maybe teens?
Just got out of college. And yeah. Met my partner. It was just me and him, and we kind of started off with the attitude of, you know, whatever. Somebody asked us to mow their yard, we were mowing their yard. Even though we were HVAC experts, yeah. We were mowing yards, whatever it actually took. And, you know, through time, you get to start doing more and more of what you like.
Did you guys really mow yards? Is that, I mean, was there whatever they needed?
Whatever they needed.
Whatever they needed. You're out at the house doing air conditioning.
You did ugly stuff, you know, if somebody's sewer pump went out, right? You know, not pretty stuff. So I'd rather mow the lawn than do that one. But that's what you did. You just didn't say no.
That's cool.
Whatever it took.
At the beginning, right, we're talking about baby steps. And sometimes when we start things, there can be a little trepidation. When you first got started, what kind of emotions went through your mind? What were you thinking?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, Mark, because, you know, where do you get – you have these ideas, right? And you think about them, and you get all this data inputs from all different places, and they digest, and you try to understand them. And then what do? You have a tendency to go to somebody, and you want to convey your idea. And they don't have all the data points that you did of – all these different information points coming to you, and you try to convey your idea of what you want to do. And what do most of the time people want to do? They want to rain on your parade. They want to tell you the reasons why you shouldn't do it. You know,
that's
the economy's bad, or, you know, heating and air conditioning. I can still remember to this day when I talked to my in-laws about buying a heating and air conditioning, buying in with my partner. Yeah. They gave me probably 2 hours of reasons why I shouldn't do it.
Did that cause you to tap the brakes at all?
Oh, absolutely, right? Because you're young and you're impressionable and you're going, God, this. They're older. You look up to them.
Yeah.
Here's all this information telling you why you shouldn't do something. But your gut's telling you, I want to.
Why did they tell you no, like too risky to start a business, too risky to change course?
Oh, and the number... Everybody fails, or not everybody fails, but a lot of new businesses fail. You know, 80%, but they were spitting out statistics of why I shouldn't do it.
Oh,
so
man.
Just go with your gut. You know, it's baby steps, understanding where you get information, and look at that gut.
Yeah, and so you took your first step, and, I mean, now you're at 50 vehicles. Tell us about the growth. How did you grow like that? How were you successful?
Just, you know, listen... understanding where the market is going, trying to understand what people are wanting. So you get information all the time. It's just, what do you do with it? You know, do you take that information and deposit it and then act on it? Or is it just something that sits there and resides? So, you know, you want to understand where information is coming from, how to best use it, and how to best act on it.
You get more of that information from your customers, your employees, or the suppliers. I'm just wondering, where does the good info come from?
You're right, Mark. It comes from all different places, right? Sometimes it's from employees. Sometimes it's – a lot of the time it's listening to what the customers are saying. Not the words coming out of their mouth, but what are they saying?
In the trenches.
Yes.
What a concept. Instead of sitting in the ivory tower, get down on the field with the rest of the players and start playing.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Well, tell us about your team.
So that's one of the things is, you know, surround yourself with people smarter than you. I'm very, very fortunate to have a great team around me. And that's one of the things that once you get to a point where you can start to afford to do that, get people smarter than you.
Mm. That's pretty easy for me, but I don't know. You're a smart guy. I don't know how you find those guys.
They're all over the place, believe me.
So, I mean, is there like one key guy or woman that has been a game changer for you? Or is it more than that?
Absolutely, more than that. You want to have smart people and what they're smart in. So, you know, when it comes to financial, you know, have people that understand financials more than you do. When it comes to marketing, when it comes to business ops, you know, hire the people that actually are smarter.
And where does your strength lie as the CEO, as the man overseeing all this stuff?
I'd have to actually say it's just being okay at all the different things. You don't have to be great at any one of them, but you just can't say, oh, I'm not good at sales, so I'm not going to, you know, try to be better at sales. Just, you know, don't take that just because you're not good at something as a reason why you don't want to better yourself. So just be okay at all the different things.
Yeah, well, you've been in the business a long time, so you have this well-roundedness that occurs with being in the same industry for a long time, roundedness within the industry. But let's talk about our community. So you grew up in Lincoln. I grew up in Roseville. This Sacramento is changing dramatically. What do you, I mean, and you do a lot of things in the community. Give us your thoughts about our hometown.
You know, you being a store and talking to somebody in front of you, and I'm born and raised, like you said, in Lincoln, and, you know, a lot of people feel bad. You know, you'll be in the line at Raley's or in the supermarket, and you'll start up a conversation, and, you know, they'll say, I'll tell them I'm born and raised here, and they'll automatically almost start apologizing.
For all the growth?
Yeah. But this opportunity that we all have here wouldn't exist if that growth didn't take place.
Yes, yes. And you do a lot for the community too, right? Tell us what you guys do for the community.
We do a lot of different things in reaching out and giving back. So, you know, one of the things that we do is we have a water feature that we invite a lot of kids out to.
You have a private lake at your house, is that right?
Not at the house, but we have access to it. And, you know, teaching kids about experiences, you know, just giving them, it's amazing how, you know, if you have a boat, it's not a great experience for you, but for kids that don't get to understand the country, get to see, get out where it's quiet and have a water experience. You know, we got fish where we teach them to, we've taught them how to come up and eat out of your hands.
Nice.
And kids just love that. Yeah. Being able to reach down and have a fish come out and eat out of their hands or fishing. A lot of times kids haven't caught a fish and just having that opportunity to do those things.
You know, and this show's about helping the next guy in line, right? We're helping the community. We're trying to help the next entrepreneur in line. Any closing thoughts about just advice to guys that are maybe on the fence or maybe just starting out and they have some of those hesitation that we talked about with baby steps? Any words of wisdom from a guy that's had your kind of success?
Follow your gut. You know, just understand if it's there and you really believe in it, go for it. And continue to build upon your weaknesses, whatever they are. Identify your weaknesses and build upon them.
Ah, nice. Dwayne Knickerbocker, the man behind Brower Mechanical. When we return, I want to thank you for coming on the show, Dwayne. I really appreciate it. When we return, we will bring on my friend, my right-hand man, my workplace soulmate, Mr. Tim Mulligan. Tim is the president of Haney Business Ventures. He and the Haney Biz accounting team are expanding their reach and launching an exciting new business process outsourcing venture. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneurs Bank. And Five Star is my bank, too. I'm here. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm here, finally, again, I say finally, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. There's been a lot of fanfare leading up to this, but I am joined by Tim Mulligan, the president of Haney Biz. How you doing, Tim?
I'm good, Mark.
Okay, now we're going to talk about your new venture that, that you got going, but before we do, let's find out a little bit about Tim Mulligan. We've known each other a long time, grew up down the street from each other as little kids, and then we reunited just a few years back, 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. Talk to us about Tim Mulligan, the man.
Oh, my goodness. I am a chubby CPA, and that's when I meet people, half of that is obvious, right? They can see how chubby, but anyway, let's see. In my past, I'm going to college, because that's the thing to do, and somebody suggests. I know I don't want to do anything with engineering because I'm not good at it. So somebody says, why don't you do accounting? It's a strong business degree. So I do that. And I was a government auditor, and I worked for a startup, and yada, yada, yada. When you and I ran into each other, and I'd had a small business as well, and through a mutual friend, because you know,
we Jerry Wallace.
Yeah, Jerry. He said you were looking for a controller, and I was like, yeah, I remember the Haneys, and I know they've done this and that, and so I reached out, and it's been an adventure ever since.
It has been an adventure. Started off as a controller. Now you're overseeing the entire operation because you've got a financial background, right? You taught entrepreneurial accounting at Sierra College. You've been in that financial side of the house, but you've also been an entrepreneur. And that was, I guess, evident to me as you started coaching me on business and helping me to help oversee our businesses. And now you're running the ship. So it's very helpful. You are one of those guys that I think sees through the fog, right? You're driving down the road on a foggy day and it's kind of tough to see. Well, if you turn on the fog lights, sometimes you can see a little bit better. You're one of those guys, I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, it's like things are just a little bit foggy, but then we get Tim involved in the situation with the numbers and you find a way to isolate on what the real opportunity is or what the problem might be and what we ought to do, the baby steps that we might want to take in order to solve our issues. So, anyway, you're starting a new program at Haney Biz, right? Do you get to help entrepreneurs?
Yes, and it's really nice of you to say about my seeing through the fog. I'm there with you, and it's foggy to me often as well. But today, right, you know, took some baby steps the last few years, and some worked better than others. I mean, you know, we don't propose to be perfect, but today we find ourselves in a place where you and I kind of wanted to be.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we can help share our battle scars with small businesses and entrepreneurs, and our own house can still always get better, but things are going well. So we feel like, okay, I think it was a few weeks ago we talked about, are you growing or dying?
Yeah.
And you got to ask yourself that. And we did that at the Haney Business Ventures and said, you know, how can we help? How can we contribute? Yeah. How can we go from being a cost center, a bunch of accountants that in many businesses are just a cost center? How can we bring revenue in and contribute to the overall scene? So, you know, and you talk about baby steps. I don't know when you and I decided, hey, let's do this, but we kind of just did.
Yeah.
And we started out sending some snail mail out because we had the capacity to do so. And people started calling us and coming in. And we're dipping our toe for sure. But what's the logic? Well, the logic is, first of all, it's an invitation. Right, come join us. We do the Haney Enterprises because you've got information to share beyond accounting.
You bet.
For sure.
Yeah. So there's entrepreneurs out there, and there may be some listening that have these businesses. It may be a little foggy, and they really need to not spend their time trying to navigate the fog. They need to go focus on what they're good at. I mean, I think what we do for our companies, and we're starting to do it for other companies as well, is we make it easy to work hard, right? So you have this, you may be good at swinging a hammer. You may be good at installing a security camera. Or you may be good at a YouTube startup company. You could be good at all that product, right? All that service. But sometimes the financial stuff sort of bogs you down. We come in and go, hey, you know what? Don't worry so much about that stuff. That is not really what pays the bills. Let's minimize your costs there, right? You don't need to spend a bunch of money on your accounting, and you certainly don't need to spend a bunch of your time when you should be out there driving new business and making things happen with your team. Let us take all that, I'll call it grunt work of accounting, off your hands.
Absolutely. I mean, and driving sales, right? Companies fail because of lack of revenue. They don't fail because they, picked an S-corp instead of a C-corp.
Right.
So, you know, what you say about where people should focus their attention is universal truth, so to speak. So we currently do, right, we find ourselves doing the monthly profits and loss financial statements for 10 companies. And we say, let's do it for more people.
Yeah.
You know, we've learned some discipline and some other things. And so we say what we consider good practices in terms of timely and accurate financial information, and then some coaching around, you know, profitability and stuff like that. So let's do it for others. And so we have Haney Business Ventures offering what we're calling business process outsourcing services. And that's, you know, principally bookkeeping and budgeting and projections and, you know, financial statements. But it's also some coaching from you. So, and we have a flat fee of $68 an hour, right?
I'm $69 an hour, I think. Can we have me on my billing rate a little bit higher? So, I mean, it's affordable. It's cheaper than hiring your own accountant. You got to go out and hire a bookkeeper. You got to go out and hire accounting people. It's like, you know what? You like to use the term, I've heard you use the term, emancipation, payroll. And you know what? You don't need to be bogged down with extra bodies if you have a team like Tim's team, like our team. And you know what? It is fun for you guys. You guys actually, you have a great team, and you guys like doing this work. I like coaching and kind of hanging back a little bit, but you guys like doing the work. Tell us a little bit about your team. We only have about a minute left.
Okay. Oh, well, fantastic team, and this is why Kevin, Olga, Candy, Nick, everybody brings somebody different, something different from the
Don't
the
forget
table.
Also Tammy.
Oh, yeah.
There's
oh,
more.
Yeah. Tammy.
I'm not kidding. I don't want you to die. Somebody's going to be left out. You'll be like, oh, shoot.
Absolutely.
Anyway, go ahead.
Absolutely, anyway, yeah, for sure.
They're all good. You're right. And these guys have been with us a long time. I mean, Candy's been with me 15 years. Olga's been with me 50, you know, my previous companies. Tammy's been with me 20 years or something like that. So he's been with me. Oh,
yeah. Oh,
cough button.
First and last.
Cough button. I forgot.
That was a swear word. It's a long story.
We're not supposed to use certain names on the air. Anyway, we have a team that's been with us a long time. It's not newbies, so we are experienced, and we can get the job done.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for coming on the show, Tim. I'm going to ask you to stick around when we bring in Jeff. I want to do a little shout-out to Michelle Halston. Michelle Halston is a partner, one of the shareholders over at Greenberg Traurig Law. They're a sponsor, but they're more than that. We were hanging out the other day at the Giants game with Michelle and her husband, Jeff, and she's working her... I mean, this lady is a workaholic. I've done different things with her with BuySell, worked on a couple acquisition opportunities with her. She's worked on... she's going to talk to our EO group here coming up in a couple of days. My entrepreneur organization group about equity-based compensation. She is a business attorney. I highly recommend her. She does a great job. I just wanted to give a little shout-out for Michelle Halston, Greenberg Traurig Law. Yes, they are a sponsor, but they're good. They really do good work, and I can attest to their abilities over at Greenberg Traurig. When we return, we will meet my friend an entrepreneurial YouTube sensation, Mr. Jeff Rizzo. Jeff is the founder of Riz Knows and is now part of the Haney Biz family. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Five Star Bank. The Entrepreneurs Bank, Five Star, is my business bank, too. I am joined today by Jeff Rizzo, founder and CEO of Riz Knows. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I appreciate you coming down. Now, Riz Knows, catchy name. Tell us about the company.
So Riz Knows is a YouTube channel, and it is a deals and discounts website. So think, we tell people about great products, we review those great products, and we save you money on those great products. That's all we do. We tell you about great products, we save you money.
So you make a video that talks to you about the great products. Is there a certain type of product you focus on?
So our demographic is males between 20 and 55.
Okay.
And that's about 85% of our viewership in that range and the people that visit our website. So things that guys like.
Okay.
Anything that a male between 25 and 50 would like, headphones, action cameras, outdoor gear, sports-related things like that, we're going to review it if we like it. And then we're also going to try and help them save money on it.
Now, what if something is, you ever had something that was really bad and you had to get it on there and go, oh, man, this don't buy this, guys?
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you don't tell the truth one single time, people will never trust you. Yeah. And in my business, it is 100% about integrity.
Okay.
And so if it's bad, you have to tell them your honest opinion about it. And at the end of the day, I'm not there to say bad things about products.
Yeah.
But if I don't like it, then I need to say it. And if I say that there's a good deal on something, I want people to trust me.
Right, right. Now, how did you get started? We've been talking about baby steps today. And so often people have a little hesitancy when they first start things. Tell us about how you started.
Baby steps. Baby steps. You know, it's actually been a series of big steps and baby steps. So I used to work in finance and investment banking, and I really enjoyed it. I liked it. I was a pretty good investment banker. And I woke up one day and said, I think I've learned a lot of what I'm going to learn over the next 3 years already in the first, 13 months. It's all front loaded. And I said, I want to try something different. Wearable technology was very small at the time. You know, I had the first Fitbits. I used to run around the office at midnight using the first Nike wearable tech devices. And I said, I can do something with this stuff. And I thought I was going to actually sell them originally. I thought I was going to be a retailer. And after I quit my job in investment banking, moved back into my parents' house, into this tiny little room, Amazon and Best Buy launched massive wearable tech stores. And I was
wow.
It's not even worth trying that. We should not pursue that route anymore. But the one thing I did notice that there's a disconnect between what people knew about the products and how they use them. So there was this education gap that I could come in there, I could talk about them, I could have some sort of concise video on these products, and it would add a lot of value. And in, over time, we've implemented many, many other things.
Well, I think it's interesting that your plan changed dramatically. I mean, you're in investment banking, which I guess you're a deal maker, right? You're putting deals together, big financial deals together. That sounds like a really cool job. And you saw an opportunity that was much different. I mean, you're, I guess you're doing deals on smaller transactions on your YouTube channel and with Amazon and all that. But I mean, you're doing big deals. Now it's a series of smaller deals. And what made you decide to make that change? Was it about a big dream that you had, a vision?
Well, you know, I was 22 at the time.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're 22 and you just worked in investment banking, you think you know a lot. And this is 100%.
That's a great job. It's a great opportunity of investment banking. Now you've created something. We'll talk about that as we go. I mean, I don't know of anybody that's got a bigger YouTube subscriber following than you do. It's huge. But I just think that that's an interesting decision. And I just can imagine there being hesitation of some sort.
Sure. Ian, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. It was a great job. I enjoyed it. I love the people I work with. I spoke with a few of them this week. But it was just that I knew it inside that I wanted to do something else. I knew that there was something else for me. I was already, you know, playing around with other things inside the company, and I just knew that there was something else. And it was probably not an advisable decision. I mean, it was really stupid, actually. I mean, you left a great job for a job. You didn't even know what I was going to do in the future. But you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. And I honestly,
did you want to just kind of be out on your own? Is that part of it? Is like maybe did you feel like you'd have more control of the upside or the destiny?
That, and I just had faith in the fact that I was going to create something that was really fun, really valuable. People loved it. And I just felt like I had learned what I needed to learn in investment banking.
Interesting.
It was time.
Now you say faith. We'll come back to that in a second because I'm curious to how you got that confidence. Where did that come from initially? But at first, let's talk about how the size of your operation, the YouTube followers, how you got all these subscribers and how your business actually functions.
Sure. So we have about 135 to 140,000 subscribers across our various, you know, social media websites.
How many is it again? I'm sorry.
It's about 140,000.
Wow. And it's growing.
It's growing month over month. And you know, you don't grow a subscriber base that quickly if you're not doing something that they really enjoy and you're adding value to these people. That being said, our subscriber base is actually relatively small compared to a lot of other people out there, compared to where I want it to be, compared to where I believe it should be, but we're working to add a lot.
So that subscriber base, 140,000. Now, you know, I just for comparison, what would that relate to as compared to, let's say, a local VHF channel, 3, 10, 13 around here? I mean, how does that relate? How many watches does a regular TV show have?
I actually do not know. We do about 2 million views a month.
2 million views a month. Okay.
Yes. So, and 2 million views a month is pretty good, but there are a lot of people out there that are just better, and we want to be the best.
Very humble. So, how long have you been doing it?
About 2 years.
Two years, 140,000 subscribers.
But I spent the first year, and I had no idea what I was doing. I just sputtered around and had no idea. I didn't know how to make money. I didn't know how to add value. I didn't know anything about audio, video, script writing, developing a concept for a product. I had no idea. And really in 2015, about March of 2015, I actually said, I've got something cool here. You know, I did 1 million views the whole last year. It took me a whole year to do 1 million views, and I said I kind of got something here, you know, and I started to invest a little bit. I bought a new camera and said I'm gonna take some pride in what I do, because before it was just a hobby, and it went from 3,000 subscribers to almost 100,000 by year end. So it was pretty dramatic.
How did you learn it? You just self? I mean, you were self taught. You didn't go to a class or something?
No, sir. Taught myself.
Oh, my gosh.
But that being said, I made a lot of mistakes. You know, I tell my girlfriend all the time that I'm going to make some good decisions, but I'm going to make a lot of very big mistakes. Very, very big mistakes. And that's just, I guess that's how life goes with me. You got to try And if you mess up, that's, you know, that's, I've done it many times, messed up many times.
That's amazing. I guess we learn from our mistakes. I know I've I probably lead the league in this room in
I doubt that.
Mistakes. But you talked about faith, and there's faith when you get started, you know, when you first get started in things, and you just had this belief in yourself. But now you're going to be growing the company. I know you're bringing on some talent, and I know Matt is in the next room. And what's giving you the faith now? Obviously, you got a little bit of a track record, well, great track record. But now, how do you feel moving to grow your business? Because you're going to grow fast from here.
I believe that we're going to do something special like I've never believed in anything else in my life. I think that I've got something really neat here, and there are a lot of people out there that believe the same thing. And I think the one thing that I should say is that we're going to focus on being better every single day. You know, we had a mentor, Matt and I. Matt and I used to work in investment bank and the other, work until midnight every night. And he said to me one time, if you're not trying to get better, then what are you doing? And we want to be the best. We want every single guy between 25 and 50 to check our site every single morning to see if they can save money or to see if they can watch an entertaining video.
This is amazing, and I want to just thank you for coming on the show. And Tim, I sort of forgot about you over here. Tim, we got Tim Mulligan still over here on the side. Is your mic on, Tim?
Yeah, it's on.
Now, Tim, I know we're going to try to take Jeff into our family as one of the Haney Biz family members and invest a little bit into him. You're going to help him with some of his backroom stuff and help these guys grow the business. What are your thoughts about Jeff's business and where you see it going?
Oh, Jeff's story is so interesting to me, and we're so happy to have him. You know, as a customer, but as a friend and as an investment, he's good for us because he's young, and being around young guys helps keeps us young, kind of thing. But I mean, you have a curious mix. There are listeners right now that stayed up till 2:30 in the morning playing Call of Duty, and they just got up an hour ago, and maybe I've got their attention right now, but they have all wanted to make money working at home on the internet. And you have your curious mix of intuition and intellect, as I've labeled it just today. You struggled, you flopped around a little bit for that first year, but you're doing what others have dreamt about doing. So without going on too long, I'm just stoked to have you around. And
thank you.
That's awesome.
Wish you the best.
Any closing thoughts, Jeff? As we before we cut to break.
Other than the fact that I'm just extremely excited to be here, to be a part of the Haney business family, and I just want to do my best and work with you, Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you know what? I do have rock star business partners. I really do. And I wouldn't want to be partnered with people that I didn't have 100% confidence in. I am super excited. I think you raised the bar for me. You raised the bar for our team because of what you bring in terms of talent and intellect. So we couldn't be more proud to be a part of Rizknows and working with you, Jeff. So I want to thank you for coming on the show, but I want to do a little talk about next week a little bit. We have two beautiful dynamo women entrepreneurs, Carla Nelson and Tanya Cagetta, coming on the show next week. Carla Nelson is the founder of Swiss Avenue Partners, and Tanya Cagetta is the owner of Ovations Dance Studio. When we return, I will share my closing thoughts about the first and most essential key to winning in entrepreneurship. It's called showing up. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back. Mark Haney here, talking baby steps. You know, we got these big visions here as entrepreneurs. We're dreaming big, but sometimes taking that first baby step, it can kind of be scary. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
It is scary at times. And don't those steps, those precious baby steps, aren't they what lead to great beginnings? You think about great beginnings, right? Steve Jobs started out in his garage, and look what happened. Jeff Rizzo started out thinking his business was going to go one way, leaves a great investment banking job, and now look at him, one of the leading YouTube guys in his space. And Dwayne Knickerbocker, right? He had people telling him, don't do it, but see, he was hesitant, but he went out and he did it anyway. He started with some baby steps. And I think we all have that. I mean, if you're starting a landscape company, you do not need a brand new Ford truck, a brand new riding lawnmower, and a 10-page business plan to start your business. There's an old mower in the garage. You got two pair of feet. You got a pair of feet. Maybe it's time to go pushing that thing up and down the neighborhood if you can't decide how to start. And it all begins with a baby step, doesn't it? I'm back here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisnero. Gentlemen, any takeaways from today?
Well, the initial takeaway I have is the fact that I was so intrigued by all the guests today. I'd like to hear more from Jeff. I would love to hear, and I know Tim from work, but I'd actually like to hear a little more about his personal story. Yeah. And Mr. Knickerbocker, man, I mean, they've built an amazing business. So really, I think it's look outside your nine dots, right? I mean, Right. Just because convention says you should do it one way doesn't mean that's the way you have to do it.
Marcus, closing thoughts today, any takeaways?
I really thought it was interesting when Dwayne said, hey, follow your gut. And I think that's really important for people to self-evaluate and look inside and follow their dreams like Jeff did and decide, hey, I'm going to go do something different. I'm going to follow my dreams. No one's going to stop me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sometimes the first part of anything is just showing up. I mean, it's, some people, it's sort of underrated, I think. But sometimes if you just show up, that baby step of the decision just to show up. I can remember as a kid, my first entrepreneurial venture, and I was watching the paperboy in my neighborhood, Andy Boss. And this guy, you know, he was a paperboy. And I remember going out there going, you know what, wouldn't that be cool to have my own paper route, right? And start to have some money. And, you know, I went out and I decided, you know what, I'm going to go see if Andy needs a little help with his paper route. So I showed up at Andy's house one morning. And I said, hey, you want some help with your route? And I mean, and I loved it. I loved being out there with the fresh air, riding your bike around where there's nobody around. And on the streets at 6 o'clock in the morning delivering. I think it was the summer going into the fourth grade. And I just loved, you know, throwing those newspapers, seeing if I could get them on the porch. And, you know, one day after a little bit, Andy said, you know what, I think I'm going to give up my route, Mark. You want my route? And I'm like, wow, Andy, yes, I do, but I don't know if I can have a route. You know, I'm pretty young here. Let me go ask my mom, and I'll get back to you tomorrow. Well, the next morning, I got up, and guess what? The newspapers were on my porch. I had a paper route instantaneously, and my mom was kind of like, she just shook her head at me. She said, now I got a paper route. But I showed up. And I took a baby step. I showed up and I got my first opportunity to really do something that I had dreamt about doing. And it was cool. And I remember going out there and delivering the paper. You know, the first thing I did was I recruited my brother Paul to help me. And we would go out there and we'd deliver the papers and usually we'd get them on the porch. But sometimes we didn't get them on the porch. And, you know, but we showed up and, you know, we got them done every day. And then at the end of the month, you had to go collect, right? And that was my job, the collection part. Back in the day, you had to walk around, knock on the door, hey, collecting for the union. And so and the people would, you know, give you the check for the $2.65. Believe it or not, a lot of people paid by check. But I remember going around and doing the collecting, and I went to this one house, and it was Mr. Schmidt's house. Mr. Schmidt was the president of the Little League. Mr. Schmidt was the owner of the A&W restaurant, which we all loved. And I never got to go there unless I was hanging out with over at the Schmidt's. But it was the A&W restaurant. He was the only guy. He was very respected. He was the only guy in our neighborhood. It was a pickup truck neighborhood. He was the only guy in our neighborhood. They had a Lincoln Continental and a pickup truck. And their lawn was manicured with sprinklers that came on every morning. I mean, this guy was the man. And so I'm collecting at Schmidt's house. And Mr. Schmidt, hey, collecting for the union. Yeah, Mark, here's your money. Now, he pulls me off to the side on the porch and he says, hey, Mark, can I give you a little bit of advice? And I say, sure. Yeah. And he goes, you know what? If you got the paper on my porch every time, there might be a little something for you extra at the end of the month. And I was like, oh, okay, I got gotcha.
Light bulb, right,
light bulb
right.
moment. So I went home that night, and Paul and I were laying in bed, and like we always did, kind of hashing out the day and dreaming about someday. And we said, you know what, Mr. told him about the Mr. Schmidt thing, and he said, oh man, we got to figure out how to you know, fix that. And I'm like, I know. So I said, hey, what do you think if we did a little brainstorming? What do we think if we put it on the porch every time? And he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And I'm like, well, what about if we put it on the ledge by the front door, you know, right when you walk out the door, you know, and it's sitting there every time? What if we did that? And Paul's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then Paul takes one better. Paul's a topper kind of guy. Paul goes, what if we put it on that ledge and then we tip it up against the door, right? So the newspaper's up against the door. So when you open the door, the newspaper actually falls into the
inside
house.
Inside the house.
In home delivery. So we created that. We created that in home delivery. We made it different. But it all started was showing up,
right?
You know, and then we had to shock them with our thing, and we systematized the heck out of it. But you know what? Any of us can do this if we have the courage to take a baby step. Any of us can do that. We don't have to wait, right? We don't have to wait for that perfect opportunity. Someday, it's someone else's day, my friends. We're a fourth quarter team, and we take action today. We don't wait for the election to be over. We don't wait for the first of the year. We don't wait for down the road. So today, may we all take a baby step toward our dream. Today, may we all show up to win.
15.
Today, may we all remember that next step in our journey is not supposed to be easy, but it's those steps that make us a little more free. Never above you. Never below you.
Always by your side.